Welcome to Our Sleeve Life podcast, hosted by Kelly and Mel, friends who had gastric sleeve surgery but 5 years apart. We wanted to create a supportive family with full transparency by sharing our stories as well as others from the community. We are breaking the stigma of weight loss and weight loss surgery one episode at a time.
Hey, guess what, guys? We're not doctors.
No, we are not.
No. So if you're going to be making any major medical decisions, please consult your doctor immediately.
Yes. And that includes diets, surgeries, and exercise. We love you guys, and we want you to continue to be in our OSLP family.
That's right. So be careful and consult your doctor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so hard to find a yoga instructor that is patient, knowledgeable, and affordable.
Look no further than Kate Louise Yoga.
She specializes in yoga for all bodies.
Her primary goal in teaching is to help people heal themselves by tapping into higher consciousness states of love, wisdom, and creativity.
You can also find free gentle yoga classes on her website,
katelouiseyoga.com. Just click the link like you're going to purchase a class to see the link to her Zoom classes.
All right, welcome back, guys. Yeah. We are back for season three. This is our season opener, and we have a very special guest here.
I feel special.
Yes, my surgeon, Dr. Thompson, is here.
Hi, everybody.
Yay.
So excited.
Oh, I love it. I absolutely loved having you as my surgeon. And we fought so hard.
We did. It was a bit of a battle, but yes. We got there,
and it was, I mean, the best thing I ever did. Best thing.
I'm happy to hear that.
Yay.
Yeah. I think it's the best thing, because then now I get to like do all this stuff with
you. Yeah, we're doing this podcast, which is so amazing. And I mean, I feel so much better. So much better.
I remember you felt better immediately.
Immediately. I remember walking around the floors of the hospital and being like, I don't have any pain. Like, yeah. It's weird that I don't have any pain.
It confused me. I was like, how does that happen? Like, you just woke up like that.
It's so weird. And you said sometimes it just happens. It just resets.
And yeah. I never know who it's going to be.
Right?
And so it's when people ask, it's like, well, I don't know. It could get better. It could not. But it definitely was an overnight difference for you.
It was like I woke up from surgery and I was a whole new person. Yeah. And not to say that I don't have pain still, like sometimes. And it's very much related to what I eat. I can tell. Like if I have a crappy week, I'm in more pain.
Yeah.
But it's not anywhere near where I was.
I mean, you could barely get on the exam table when,
Cody would have to help me. My husband would literally have to like grab my hand and like boost me up.
Oh, wow.
And now it's like I'm running all around. And I've got energy. I mean, and no pain meds whatsoever. So, I know.
That's the best part.
Right after surgery, I stopped taking them and I was just like, nope, I don't need them.
Awesome.
Yeah. So... Awesome. Okay, so let's get to these questions that we have. So first off, we just want to ask, how did you get into weight loss surgery?
So interesting, kind of, I guess, to me. But I've known since I was like six that I wanted to be a surgeon. So never in question.
Yes.
When I was a kid, back when TLC was actually the Learning Channel.
Oh.
they would show videos of surgery, like actual surgery, and I would be in there, kids are out playing, and I'm like in here watching surgery videos. So,
and like cutting apart your teddy bear.
Yeah, and my mom's like fainting because she can't stand the sight of blood. So.
Oh my gosh.
So that was kind of never in question. Weight loss surgery is interesting in that the training for that, so general surgery training or medical training in general consists of usually 4 years of medical school.
Okay.
And then depending on what you want to do with your life, residency, which is your actual hands-on training, is longer. So general surgery residency is 5 years. So,
oh, wow.
And then after that 5 years, you can either go out and be a general surgeon or you can do further training and specialize. And so that's what I did. I did a year of it's called minimally invasive surgery or advanced laparoscopic surgery. The interesting thing is that most of those training programs involve bariatric surgery as part of the training.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. And so actually when I signed up for the fellowship, I had no intention of doing bariatric surgery.
Oh, wow.
I just knew I wanted to do general surgery.
Okay.
And laparoscopy is very cool in that we're doing these big things with small incisions. And so that really appealed to me. Honestly, I've never told anybody this, but now is clearly the time to share all my secrets.
Yes.
But, you know, I've always, not always, but more recently struggled with my weight as well. Mm. And, you know, I felt like this is really cool surgery and these are really cool patients, but who is going to want to listen to a surgeon telling them I'm going to make you skinny and I can't even make myself skinny?
Okay.
So
fair point.
Yeah. So that really weighed on me pretty heavily for a long time. And then, you know, halfway through fellowship, I was like, you know what? I want to do this. I don't care what people think. I'm doing it.
Yeah.
The end. And actually, I think it's had the opposite effect than what I thought it would. You know, I think you can recognize the struggles in other people because you've struggled yourself.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
I love what I do. I spend probably the majority of my time doing bariatric surgery, but I do general surgery as well.
Oh, okay.
And that was really what I was looking for when I was looking for a job. So where I'm at, I'm super happy. Love what I do. Love my patients. So kind of a journey to get here, but
I think that's
super
really
happy.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I think that's really awesome that you know the struggles that we go through. I mean, just on a daily basis of, you know, trying to decide whether to do surgery, what not to do surgery, you've probably tried diets too. I mean, it's a battle all in itself and it's hard to stick with it. So I think it's really awesome that I think that's why you have such a good connection with us, is that you know what the struggles are.
And I think that's what I didn't recognize before when I was so worried about it. It's like, you know, nobody's going to look at me and say, oh, well, you're not skinny or you're not tiny. They're here for my expertise. And you know, so.
Well, and I think being overweight when I came in here, I never even thought that.
Yeah.
I wasn't like, well, look at her size. No, I mean, and really, I want a normal person that understands me, not a super skinny model, because I don't think I would feel as comfortable around that.
And I think it's all about, you know, nobody cares. It's not about your weight or how you look.
No.
It's just about the connection.
It's about the connection and the expertise. And you definitely have both.
Well, yeah, I want the surgeon to be relatable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it seems like you two have a really good like connection.
Well, it seems like if somebody's going to let me cut them open and do things, we should probably have at least a decent working relationship.
Yes.
So.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. No, I think I knew from the moment I walked in, I was like, I just felt comfortable and like I knew that I was going to do the surgery no matter what, but it just eased my mind knowing.
Yeah.
And I think back to my mom coming in here with me because she was so against me having the surgery.
Yeah.
She was just so scared. And I remember her coming in and she sat down and we had a whole discussion, the three of us. Actually, I think it was the four of us because I think Cody was here too.
Yeah, I think he was.
And because he went to everything.
Yeah.
And I remember us leaving and she was just like, I'm totally on board. I love your surgeon. She's so knowledgeable and she answered all your questions. And like she felt so much more comfortable.
Yeah.
And that says a lot that somebody was totally against it.
Yeah.
And then you changing their mind just by like you walking in
just
and like
being
having
you.
A personality. Yeah. Yep. It's like it's just it was really comforting for me.
Well,
so
I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah.
That's what we strive for. But
yeah. No, I love this office. I absolutely love it.
She talks about it all the time.
I do. I'm like, I just love my whole experience here.
I love my office too.
Yeah,
every
single person here is so amazing. And they take each person as a separate entity. It's not just a group of overweight people, you know? It's like everybody's a little bit different. So
you can tell how personable, just even with me walking in, how nice they are.
Mm-hmm.
And not to say anything about it, my office, it's just like we moved really quickly. So I didn't get to know everybody.
Yeah.
Like only person I really knew was my surgeon and then the person that would just take all my testing and the vials and
right.
stuff. So I had to know him really well, but that's about it.
Yeah. No, we talk about like how success kind of goes with like what a connection you have with your therapy and your nutritionist and all of that. Because a lot of people don't have that.
Yeah.
They don't have that connection. And I think that's where it sometimes we actually had a follower message us that she's having problems because she didn't have the aftercare. She didn't have the before care. Yeah. And it's really important to have that.
Super important.
And she feels like she was just kind of thrust out there after the surgery. And
because she was.
She was. I
mean, she literally just had the surgery. Like
she had the surgery and then a list of guidelines.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can't. I mean, you can't. There's so much that goes into this.
Well, and it's the same problem you see with medical tourism. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not that you're getting a bad or necessarily different surgery in another country. It's that the surgery is not the most important part of this process.
It's the process.
It's the process that's the most important part. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I tell patients, you can defeat anything I can do to you. This is a tool, is not a magic bullet. And
exactly.
It's the whole process that's important. So
I love it. I think that's definitely key.
That's okay. It can stay down there.
Sorry. Yes. I've heard your dog bark a couple times.
Oh,
so
my gosh. Yes.
I know I'm not bad.
They are so. It's like every single time. We had to start on Thursdays. We had to start putting them in the bedroom because they would. Every time we'd hit record and then Kit would start barking. And I'm just like, oh, you little shit. Like, I will just like strangle you. So I've warned my husband. I'm like, Thursday afternoons, they're in the bedroom with you because he's working nights.
So,
he works all night. And so I'm like, sorry, but that's the way it has to be because there was one we had somebody on our live.
Yeah. And that's the one I was like, we can't do this anymore. It's too distracting.
It was.
Cuddle up, Cody. Mm-hmm.
Every time she started talking and we're like, what? What?
I'm like, we sound ridiculous.
Yeah, my dogs.
But how long have you been doing bariatric surgery?
So I finished my training right about 2 years ago now. So,
oh, wow.
So I've been here for 2 years. Actually, I had not been in practice very long when I did your surgery.
Yep.
But
yeah.
But like I said, altogether, I was very lucky in that my residency training program. Mm-hmm. I had the opportunity to work with three really great fellowship trained bariatric surgeons.
Okay.
And so the training you get in residency really is dependent on the program that you're at. And so I was lucky in that I did hundreds of bariatric surgeries in my training.
Okay.
And so, you know, then I went on to do my fellowship and, you know, did quite a bit more there. So once I started my practice, it was like, hit the ground running. Awesome. You know, I feel like I've been doing this for 6 years now. So it's always much, much different when you get out on your own, but no safety net, but it's been great.
Where did you go? Like, so what were the places that you did the fellowship? And
so, my general surgery residency training, was at Santa Barbara Cottage Hospital in Santa Barbara, California, which was fabulous.
Oh, I bet.
But, very expensive.
Everything in California.
Very expensive and very dry. There was a lot of drought going on. So I spent 5 years there.
Okay.
And then I went to Bay State Medical Center in Springfield, Massachusetts.
Oh.
So other opposite side.
Yeah.
So I've been back and forth several times because I grew up in Alabama. So Alabama to California to Massachusetts and now to Oregon.
How funny. That's all over.
So we bought a house and we're not moving anymore because we're over it. So
Well, and Oregon's nice. We get
Oregon's awesome.
Yeah. We get all the seasons and it's not too much either for either season, I think.
Yeah. Oh, so. I totally agree. It's rain neutral. Is fine because it makes it green.
Exactly.
And then we can ski in the winter. It's fabulous.
Love it. So kind of a question, what kind of bias have you seen towards your specialty patients?
The whole thing.
Yeah, the whole thing.
So lots of bias. Luckily, as a specialist, I don't feel like there's been a lot of bias towards me from other professionals.
Okay.
I think it's more a universal lack of understanding about what bariatric surgery is, 100%. Who could benefit from it. And that's, you know, that's medical professionals, that's the general public, that's everybody. Mm-hmm. So, you know, really, we've come a long way in the past 10 years even, but still, the majority of primary care providers that I talk to really don't understand what the indications are for surgery or what the different options are. I mean, I look in notes and everybody had a gastric bypass. It doesn't matter what you have. Yeah. You know, it's documented as a gastric bypass.
And you're like, nope, that's not what you had.
That's not what you had. You know, so I think overall from that standpoint, it's just more a lack of general knowledge.
Okay.
But absolutely, I see so much discrimination and bias towards patients of size. So, you know, just one instance that hit me the other day, I was doing a case and this comment gets made not infrequently of, oh, well, she's not that big. Why is she even having surgery? You know, and it's like, okay, well, you clearly don't understand BMI or, you know, components that go into obesity and medical comorbidities. But
yeah,
I hear that, you know, once a month.
Oh, wow. Well, because I don't think a lot of people believe that obesity is a disease.
Yeah.
So maybe you could explain a little bit about that.
Sure, sure. So obesity is not only a disease, but it's what we call a chronic progressive disease. Mm. So chronic in the sense that it's something that you're battling. It's not an acute illness like appendicitis that, oh, we take your appendix out, done, it's gone.
And it's gone, yeah.
It's not something that is even cured by surgery. It's a tool that helps to combat the disease of obesity. Mm-hmm. But the worst part about obesity is that it's a progressive disease, meaning that obesity creates more obesity. So not only in the physical sense, so when you're carrying extra weight, obviously your joints hurt. It's harder to move around. It's harder to be active. And so that creates more weight gain, which is a vicious cycle. But on a molecular level in your body, fat encourages your body to store more fat.
Oh, so I didn't know that.
Having extra fat decreases the amount of fat that your body burns on a normal baseline day-to-day basis. It increases the amount of calories that you eat that get converted to fat. And it increases your body's capacity to store fat. So
literally it's all against you.
Yeah, it's totally working against you. It's a vicious cycle that is not, you know, it tries to continue this cycle.
No wonder it's so hard. Is that kind of why when you do diets and you lose like 30 pounds and then you like, as soon as you stop, you gain it back plus
and
another 20?
Yes.
Is that okay?
Absolutely. It's all part of that disease. And, you know, this is kind of a simplified explanation of it, but everybody's body has a set point for what your body wants your weight to be.
Okay.
And often that set point does not agree with what you in your mind want that weight to be. So when you diet, your body sees that as starvation. And so the first thing that your body does is say, okay, I see that you're trying to starve me. I'm going to slow down my metabolic rate so I'm not burning as many calories because I see that you're not giving me as many calories.
Starvation mode, right?
Exactly. So you go into starvation mode. The second thing that it does is it raises your set point and says, okay, I see that you're trying to defeat me, so I'm going to make the set point up here.
Interesting.
And how it does that is by increasing the levels of the hormones in your body that tell you that you're hungry. So folks go on a diet, and it's like, wow, I just feel starving all the time. Well, your body's doing that to you.
So and it's mental.
It's chemical.
It's chemical.
Chemical, okay.
So, I mean, hormones certainly influence your mental state, but it's actual measurable hormones in your body.
Wow.
And the reason why folks tend to gain that weight back and then some is because that set point is being raised every time. And so if you diet and lose weight, and then you start to gain it back, you usually gain more than what you lost because your body is compensating for dieting behavior.
So it's every time you start a weight loss program and you're essentially starving yourself. So every time you start and stop, it's going to raise that higher.
Presumably,
higher.
Yeah. Okay. And so that is one of the reasons why we see surgery working better than dieting behavior is because immediately after surgery, we see a drop in those hormone levels that tell you when you're hungry.
Okay.
And that's why, you know, at least for some period of time after surgery, a lot of people really just have no hunger.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of my patients have to set timers to remind themselves.
I did. Yeah. And I still don't have like a hunger like I did before, like that growling hunger.
Right.
I just feel empty. Like, it's a weird feeling to be, like, because I never, felt that before.
Yeah.
I always had that, like, hunger growl. And now it's like, I'm like, oh, I'm getting, I either am A, stupid, because that happens all the time. And I'm like, oh, we do it ourselves. Like, we'll see it and I'll be like, I'm being stupid right now. And she's like, you need to eat some protein.
Please eat something.
Yes. Let's go get a protein shake. Or I get that empty feeling and I'm like, oh, I haven't eaten in 6 hours.
Food.
Food. I have to do that. I have to do that for my body. So yeah. And the hormone, Ghrelin.
Is the main one.
Ghrelin.
Ghrelin's like your stomach's growling. Ghrelin.
That's a good way to remember. Yeah. Ghrelin. That gets, for the most part, taken out with the portion that's removed.
So a lot of ghrelin is produced in the stomach.
Okay.
And so it makes sense for a sleeve because we're taking out a large portion of the stomach. We also see those effects with a gastric bypass.
Okay.
Even though when we're doing a gastric bypass, we're dividing most of the stomach, but we're not actually taking anything out.
Oh, okay.
And so the bottom line is we have recognized that these hormone changes occur before we understand why it's happening. And so that's really a hot area of research right now in obesity research, not just in surgery, but figuring out how those hormones work together and why these surgeries work to do that. Because, for instance, the gastric band the lap band, which is not very common anymore.
No.
You don't see those hormone changes with the lap band.
Okay.
So it's something about
the
dividing
or the
and,
dividing,
you
okay.
know, and rerouting of things that's causing that.
Okay. Yeah. Her brother, her older brother actually had the lap band.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't have the same, we've already had him on the podcast.
Yeah.
And so he didn't have the same reaction that we did with like the hunger and stuff. I mean, he still battles with it.
Right.
So it makes sense that he doesn't have those chemical changes like we did having the sleeve.
Right. And he probably, with the band in place, feels full faster.
Yes.
You know, but that's just a purely mechanical phenomenon.
Right.
Because the band is restricting what can go into the stomach.
Exactly. Exactly.
But the problem with that is that you're still hungry all the time.
Well, yeah. You're still hungry. And he had it taken out.
Yeah.
So he doesn't even have it any longer.
Yeah.
Which.
And has had some regain, unfortunately.
He's had regain, which is a problem with the lap band because as soon as you remove it.
Absolutely.
You're going to start eating the way you did before. Not that you can't do that with the sleeve or bypass, but it's less likely.
Oh, definitely.
Right. It just takes longer.
It does take longer.
Yeah.
And
I definitely encourage patients that come to me for a lap band removal. Mm-hmm. I encourage them to consider converting to another procedure, most often
the sleeve.
Because absolutely, you see weight gain, and a lot of people see it really fast.
Yeah.
And it's super depressing.
It is depressing when you've gotten down. I mean, Melanie's dealt with a little bit of regain, and it's hard. I think it's hard on your system. I mean,
yeah, it's just frustrating because it's not like your average regain, I would say, because like my lowest, I've noticed that my body likes to be at 180.
Yeah.
It does not like to move from 180. I sat at 180 for like, so I'm 5 years post-op, by the way. I'm like 5 years and 6 months or something like that, really close to that. And yeah, like I sat there for like 2 years.
Yeah.
And it's just like this last full year around, I've gained like 10 pounds
or
11 pounds or whatever it is. And it's just like really frustrating because it's like, I don't want to accidentally get to the full regain.
Is my
scare. And so like, I watch it like, I'm
drinking
all the water.
Well, and she's constantly exercising. She's doing the water. She's eating her protein. So, I mean, she's doing all the right things.
Right. Well, and this is case in point. How obesity is a chronic disease that we're fighting every day, right?
Yeah.
So you had the surgery, you've lost a ton of weight, but you're still fighting that battle.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. And it's totally normal to see some weight regain years out from surgery. Mm-hmm. So most folks don't reach their lowest weight until around 2 years after surgery.
Oh, wow.
And then it's normal to have a little bit of weight regain as your body is kind of settling to where it's going to be.
Okay. So that's why my lowest is 179. And then I sat around 180, 181 for 2 years.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
And I hit my lowest was 141.
Mm-hmm.
And I've kind of gone up to like 148.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel better. And we just had this conversation. Yep. Like I feel better now being at 148 than I did at 141. Like
right.
I feel like I look healthier.
Yeah.
Because I never wanted to get down to a point where I was like, super, super skinny or unhealthy looking.
Right.
I wanted to be able to eat and have fun and like it, do the things, but just do it in a different way. And
well, yeah. and from my position, I don't care so much about the number. Like, yes, I do care about the number in that, you know, if somebody has no weight loss after a sleeve, it's like, whoa, what's going on? You should really be having some weight loss. But what I care about and what I think from my standpoint success should be judged at is how you feel. Are you why did you come to have this surgery? Yeah. Because you can't get out of bed. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, check. We fixed that. Mm-hmm. Because you're on massive doses of insulin and you're uncontrolled. So great, we can fix that. So it's really about improving quality of life, improving overall health. It's not about the number on the scale. Yeah. So I know that's easy to say and hard to do, but, you know, obsessing about 2 or 3 or 5 pounds, you know, certainly we don't want that number to keep going up.
Yes. Yeah.
But really the point is, are you living your life how you want to be living your life? And are you healthy doing it?
Yes.
Well, and I even talked to my husband about that. I was like, because we did like a reset diet at the beginning of the month. And I dropped like 5 pounds. Mm-hmm. And I'm only up actually 3 pounds from that. And so like I'm sitting pretty at 192.
Yeah.
And it's like, I just feel good.
Yeah.
I feel great.
Yeah.
I love what I'm doing. I feel amazing every day. I have so much energy. It's like, what is really 10 pounds to 20 pounds really going to make me feel any different?
Yeah.
Like at that point, I don't know. I think that's more mental, me wanting the number to be there.
Right. Yes.
Really.
Well, I think you obsess about it. Like you said, like it becomes obsessive because you don't want to regain.
Right.
Because
it's scary.
It is scary.
It's super scary.
It's very, very scary. Like seeing an Ellen, my nutritionist, which she's going to be later in the season, but we talked to her and she, you know, when I hit my goal weight, I was like, okay, now I'm maintaining. How do I maintain? I don't have any idea.
Yeah.
And she was like, well, be prepared that you will gain a little bit of weight back. Right. Most people do. Mm-hmm. And I did. I gained like 5 to 8 pounds, but I'm okay with it. At first I wasn't. I was like, I just gained 8 pounds and I don't understand why. Like I'm doing the same thing. Right. And Melanie was like, well, you're introducing other foods. Yep. Like you're trying to add in your car, a little bit of carbs and stuff. Because I went so restrictive. Right.
Well, and you're finding your sustainable lifestyle.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Yes. You can't cut everything out for the rest of your life.
Right.
I mean, I just went off vacation and I went a little off my food plan, maybe a little more than off. But there, I mean, in Missouri, they have custard ice cream. I'm sure you know.
Yeah.
And it is the greatest thing in this entire world.
It's really good.
It's
delicious.
I need
to try this custard ice cream.
Yes, you
do. I've never had it.
It is so, it's like, it's egg based. Yeah, so it's like super creamy.
And
it, it's so good. So there's a place in Missouri that before I had surgery, we would go pretty much every day while I was there. And this last time, because the time before this last time, if that makes sense, I did not have any because I was so new. I was only 6 months out. I was like, no, I'm not doing
it. And absolutely, that's the right thing to do.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not eating anything. And like, it was so restrictive when I was there last time that I was like, I feel like I'm allowed to have a cheat weekend or like, you know, you're on vacation. You don't want to be, I mean, and I've hit my goal weight. I'm maintaining at this point. I justified it in my own head. Yes. I realized that. And so I had the ice cream a couple times.
Well, and kind of what I told her was, because since I am so far removed, what I've learned is that you do have to live your life, but like plan it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you're going on vacation. So then eat good all day and then have your dinner be that one.
Right.
You know? And that's essentially what I did.
That's what I've been trying to do is like have the protein shakes all day.
Right.
And then you realize you've only had like 500 calories by the time you hit dinner time. And then you're like, okay, I can have the custard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's not going to affect me. Yeah.
Exactly.
So. And it's nice because that's something that's remote from you, right?
It's like
not every day.
Yeah, it's not here.
Yeah, because that's the danger is getting that hankering for it. And it's like, okay, well, I'm just going to go down to the store. And when I finish this tub, then
I won't buy anymore. Then you finish that tub and you're like, I want more.
Yeah.
And that's where it all started in the beginning for me. So I think I was very aware of like, we're not doing this again because Ben and Jerry's was my jam. Mm-hmm. And I ate a little tub of that pretty much every night.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to get back to that point.
And it's real easy to get a tub down.
It's a slippery slope. It's a slippery slope. We have found Yazzo ice cream bars.
Ooh, I haven't tried that.
They are yogurt, and they are delicious.
They're high protein.
They are high protein. A little high on the sugar, but I mean, if you're not having them, you know, but they have a bunch of different flavors, and they're really good. And they're a good replacement for that, like, ice cream.
Yeah, feeling. Sweet tooth. Yeah.
Exactly. Because I found, like, as more I go on, the more that sweet tooth is starting to come back. And we've talked about this because she had a sweet tooth for a long time.
I never had it. No, that was the deal.
I mean, like, after.
Yeah, that was, like, the problem is, like, I went into surgery not caring about candy or cakes or anything like that. It was literally bread was my problem and ranch.
And ranch.
Those are two very delicious things.
Yeah, and pizzas. So. I mean, dipping that pizza in that ranch, man. Yep. And so, like, it was really weird where, like, after year one, I'm like, why do I want chocolate all the time? This is super odd. And my husband's like, maybe because of all the, like, you're not eating all these carbs anymore. Your body's like, I want something.
And I don't know. Sweets especially are super dangerous, right? Because they're easy to get down.
Yes.
They
Ice
are.
Cream,
they're smooth.
Easy to get down.
Yep.
Pizza? Not easy to eat five pieces of pizza.
No, it's not. No, ice cream is definitely a slider food.
Yeah.
It just goes down real easy. And I was surprised at how much ice cream I could eat. I never finished it. Yeah. But I was surprised, and I was like, oh, that's not a good plan. Like you said, glad it's over there, not here.
Yeah, seriously.
But, and then she ended up, like, eating.
Well, because what happened was I was like, hey, I'll have it once a week.
Yeah.
So I'd have it on Friday nights, and then it happened to be Friday and Saturday nights. And then now it would happen, like, to be almost every day, every evening. I would save it for that night. And I'm like, I can't do that.
This wasn't the plan.
How did I get here? I don't understand how this happened.
It's such a slippery slope because you're like, oh, it's just Friday. Oh, we'll just do Friday and Saturday. And then it just, like, continues and continues and continues.
And that's why I tell you, I'm like, and all of our followers, I'm like, it is a very slippery slope. I am here from experience to tell you to be very careful. Like, if that is your trigger food, then don't even introduce it. It's like, you don't put a crack in a crack house. We're not going to put food in front of you. Like, you just can't do it.
Yeah,
because it's really hard. Yeah. Like, and food is around you all the time. You have to have it to live.
You can't get away from it.
You can't ever get away from it.
Everywhere you look, billboards, TV, commercials, you know, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
And think of how much it's tied in with emotions and family time.
Yep, exactly.
Birthday parties. Yeah.
Everything in our society is all food-based.
Yeah.
It's really really hard to get away from. It's I remember the two-week liquid diet. I had to stop watching live TV because I could not handle the commercials.
Yes.
It was so hard to see McDonald's come on and you're drinking this protein shake. And I'm like, yum. But it was before surgery. So it was, it was at that point where you're just like, I just want to eat everything in sight but you're like, no, you're doing this for a reason. Mm-hmm. And so I would just shut off the live TV. I would just watch Netflix but then even people eating on TV shows, like,
see it,
they'd be like eating ice cream and you're like,
nobody else is even looking at the ice cream. And it's like, oh my God, he's eating ice cream.
Yep. The cake. I hate it when people eat cake on TV shows because I'm like, all I want is a big, giant piece of cake.
Yeah. Oh, you're hilarious.
I love cake.
You're
yes,
so funny.
I do.
So I was going to ask a question, actually.
Yeah, sure.
So we have this on here, and now knowing that you've done it for several years, so I guess it doesn't really matter. What techniques have you seen change over the years?
Yeah, so I thought about this one a little bit. It's interesting because I feel like a big change happened about 10 years ago.
Okay.
And so I feel like I've almost trained in the newer era. And that big change was going from gastric bypass and gastric band being the two big procedures that everybody was doing to kind of a sea change with the gastric sleeve. So the gastric sleeve really started picking up popularity about 10 years ago. And right now is by far the most popular weight loss surgery performed in the United States, at least. And the other part of that is that the lap band, so 10 years ago, was about a third of all bariatric surgery. Now it's about 1%.
Whoa.
That is a huge change.
So in my training, even though, you know, that I worked with three well-trained bariatric surgeons, And I don't remember ever seeing a lap band being put in.
Wow.
And so I don't know, you know, if they were offering them and people just didn't want it. But in all of my training, I've never seen a lap band put in.
Wow.
I've taken out probably 100.
Okay. Yeah.
So I think that's the biggest change really that's happened, along with kind of the advent of obesity as a disease. And I think that really also was happening around the time that I was starting my training. Mm-hmm. So I really kind of feel like I'm a little bit more of this new era.
Yeah.
And I didn't so much see the change. I just lived in the new part.
Yeah, you're just here in the change. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in the change. So
that makes sense. And one of our listeners wanted to know, like, how many surgeries do you know roughly that you've done?
Yeah, so here we do somewhere between 50 and 60 a year.
Okay.
And so I've been here a couple of years. So I've probably done, you know, 100 or so since I've been here. I did more than 100 in fellowship. So I would say, I don't know, low hundreds.
Okay. Which, yeah. I like that it's kind of a lower number per year because it really shows, like, the quality that you put into your patients, that we're not just a number.
Like a burn and turn.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's something that absolutely depends on where you're at, where you're working. I know many surgeons at larger programs that are fabulous and empathetic and love their patients, but it's all the system that you're working in. Wow. And so when I was looking for a job, I was looking for a smaller area where I really was a small town feel. I grew up in a small town, and I like that connection.
Yeah, you know? I like it too.
And I think Ellen and I are very similar in that.
You
and
definitely so, are, yes.
So we, I think we fit together really well.
And 100%.
And it makes it really nice for us to get to know you guys.
Yeah.
And we enjoy that.
Well, and so, I think it's important that you two have a relationship, and then you guys are so similar that the relationship kind of adjusts onto your patients.
Yeah.
Like, you kind of bring them into the circle, and the patient themselves feel safe with you both.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
So, yeah. I mean, I felt safe asking whatever I wanted. I didn't feel judged at any point. And I think that's a big concern with overweight patients going into a program, is feeling judged.
Yeah.
Because being overweight, you're judged a lot.
Yeah.
All day long.
And I still have patients that come in and
they
haven't seen me in a year, and they've maybe gained 5 pounds, and they'll tell me, I was so nervous to make this appointment and come see you. And I'm like, why? What do you think I'm going to do?
Yeah. I feel like if you're worried about it, then talk to you.
Yeah,
but
like, here's the place you should be.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, you guys are going to be the most understanding. Yeah.
Well, we're here to help, you know? We're not here to judge.
Exactly.
We're here to figure out how we're going to fix it.
Exactly.
Well, I think it's that shame, because I know I stopped going to see my surgeon I was like 2 years out, and I was just like, well, they're just going to give me you're doing great, Mel, don't worry about it, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But then realizing, looking back, I was actually really scared when I was like, I'm not losing anything. They're going to be so mad at me.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to be upset. Like, their tool isn't working anymore. Like, I feel bad. And so that was also the other reason why I didn't go back.
Yeah. And I absolutely understand where that comes from, you know, but that's part of why I like being part of a small program, is we hope that everybody feels comfortable and coming to us and, you know, and asking those types of questions. Because, you know, we've seen it all. You know, I tell every patient that's nervous, I'm like, look, whatever you've got, I've seen worse. So, you know, you just bite the bullet.
Ask your surgeon. Yeah. Ask your surgeon. Ask your office. I know I've never felt scared come in. Like, even though I did gain some weight, I knew that I could come in here, and if it was an issue, you guys would talk to me about it and be like, hey, maybe we need to look at these things that you're eating, or, you know, but I knew from being here for, you know, 6 months plus all of my post-op appointments, except for my 1 year, which was Zoom, but that's okay.
COVID.
I know. You're telling me, as we sit here with masks on.
I know.
But I knew that, like, I could come to you guys with whatever questions, and I didn't, you know, just like when I had questions about maintaining, I didn't feel fear of coming to Ellen and being like, this is where I'm at, I don't understand. Like,
Well, because sometimes you stress and you stress and you stress, and then you come in and find out, oh, wait, that's a normal thing that happens.
It's completely normal.
Totally normal.
Every time Kelly tells me something about it, I'm like, oh, that makes more sense.
Because,
I
wish I
knew. Because I have those anxiety issues where I'm just, so nervous all the time that, I'm just disappointing the doctor. So I'm like, fuck, I don't want to go.
Yeah, and I'll sit with her, and I'll be like, seriously, take a breath.
Yeah.
Like, she will have herself so worked up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, take a breath.
Yes.
What's the one thing we can do right now?
Yeah.
And then we take it step by step, and it eventually is totally fine.
Yeah.
But I know a lot of patients that don't have that support system. They don't have somebody to say, take a breath. Yeah. Which is one of the reasons why we're here.
Yeah. That is why we're here, because I didn't even have that either. So that's the deal. I didn't have the support until really the podcast.
Yeah. Because she didn't tell anybody.
No, I didn't tell many. It was just a close-knit family. And I thought, that's all who needs to know, you know? Not thinking, I need to actually find people that have done this.
Yeah.
So we can kind of trade secrets and understand each other and realize what's going on. So that way, if I felt like I could ask a question, I could.
Yeah. Well, and you had family support, at least.
I had the family support. Was definitely in there. It's just, I was raised of, you don't talk about your feelings. Yeah. And so they were there physically.
Yeah.
But they weren't there mentally. Only one that really was a couple of friends of my husband.
Yeah.
But because they knew what was going on with me, because I would felt comfortable enough to talk to them about it. Yeah. But I was not talking about that sort of stuff with my family.
Well, we do have listeners that also don't want to share it.
Right.
They don't want anybody to know. They're very embarrassed by it. And I know Melanie felt the shame of I failed.
Yeah.
I failed because I'm having the surgery. And I feel like a lot of people feel like that.
Yes.
Whereas it should be you're stepping up for yourself.
Right.
You're stepping up and you're
taking control.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're taking control. You're it shouldn't be you feel ashamed.
Yeah.
I know that, back to the stigma, we feel we see it a lot.
It doesn't help.
people saying you took the easy way out. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah.
It's not natural.
I lost weight naturally, which I hate that term.
Come on.
I hate it. What do you think we do?
Yeah.
What do you think we do, actually, on a daily basis? Just magic.
And that's the point is that, whenever you hear those types of criticisms, it's coming from a point of ignorance, right?
It is,
because they don't understand.
They don't know anything.
If anybody has ever been through this surgery, you would never say this was the easy way out.
Right. Seriously.
There's nothing easy about this.
No. You're literally, you're constantly thinking about what you're eating, what you need to do exercise-wise. You've got doctor's appointments. You've got this actual surgery. You've got your pain. You've got your body dysmorphia brain that is just going 24/7 and nothing about it is easy. It's a constant journey.
We joke in the hospital is my patients are the only ones that are ever so excited to show up to surgery, right? Because nobody else wants to come have surgery.
Right?
But my patients are like, finally, I've been working for this for months.
Exactly.
And here we are.
I couldn't sleep the night before my surgery. I was so excited and worked up. I was just like, yes, let's get this done.
Well, and that's part of what makes it so fun for us is that, we're
starting your life.
The excitement we kind of get caught up in that too. So,
Well, as you should be. I love the excitement. We get so excited for people. We did a live and we have one girl that's local.
Yeah.
And we absolutely love her, Haley. And we actually met her. And so we were the reason why she decided to have surgery.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it made us feel so good. I was like, oh my God.
I was like, we made a difference. Oh, and so she actually got her surgery date.
Yeah.
And she told us on the live and we were like, yeah.
We instant.
And we screamed so, excited. So loud because we know the excitement.
Yeah.
We know. And you know it too.
We do that with the insurance authorizations.
Oh, I bet.
Kendi and Ellen will flip who gets to call. Do you want to call?
Oh.
She's going to be so excited.
Yes. Yes. I remember. I was on the brink of tears. I was so excited.
Oh, I was so mad when the whole thing, the insurance.
Stupid insurance.
Yeah. But,
I just remember you walking into my surgery room and you're like, we're not going to let those fuckers get a day on it.
Yeah, we're not going to do it.
Yeah. This is why I love Dr. Nelson.
My kind of lady.
Mad.
Oh, yeah. My mom was like, did she just cuss? so funny.
It happens. It happens.
I was like, well, it's fine. Yeah. That's just why she fits with us.
Yeah. Yeah. Doctors cuss too, man.
Hey, we're people too.
Exactly. Yeah. It's you just be professional in the room, and then when you're done, you can do whatever you want.
Exactly.
But, yeah. So what do you think makes a patient successful?
So I think the biggest thing, and Ellen and I, when we meet new people, we can right away say, oh, they're going to do well.
Okay.
And part of it is just something you can't always put your finger on. Okay. But the biggest part of it is buying into the process as a whole. Yeah. So people that come in and say, you know what, I've been wanting to change my life. I've mm-hmm. really been thinking about this. And I plan to do this and this and this, mm-hmm. and this is going to be a whole new me. So those are the people that are successful. Okay. So, and that's why part of our process is really setting expectations for what surgery is and what it does for you. Mm-hmm. So surgery is not a magic bullet. So mm-hmm. we do surgery. You never have to watch your diet or exercise a day in your life. No, yeah, no. That's not what this is about. Yeah. And so it's really folks that recognize that and really buy into the whole process. And so, okay. you know, as you know, we do a lot of nutrition counseling, mm-hmm. a lot of behavioral health counseling,
yes.
Before surgery, because really all the data shows that the more of that you do and the more buy-in you get mm-hmm. in the whole program, and that's why we have these programs exactly. in America. That's why we do that way. Those folks are more successful in the long term. And so, you know, every once in a while pretty often you have folks that come in and say, okay, well, how quickly can we get this
done? Yeah.
Do you think there's any way I can get this done, you know, before the end of the year? You know, and it's, what's the fast track? Like, there's no fast track to weight
loss.
Yeah,
there is zero fast track for you.
And so, you know, I think it's that. That's the number one
thing. So the people that put in the work.
That put in the work and realize that the work is important.
Okay.
You know, it's realizing that weight gain is not simply a measurement of calories in, calories mm-hmm. out, because of everything we've already mentioned of mm-hmm. how food is tied in with emotion, how mm-hmm. food is tied in with family and how you relate to your family. Yeah. And for a lot of people, even the really well-prepared people, it's mm-hmm. still a big shock
yeah.
to start living your life
oh, completely.
Afterwards.
Completely.
Because right?
so, that's what you use to cope.
Yeah. I think and how are you going to do
yeah,
that?
Yeah. How are we going to cope? Yeah. And I think that's why we just release our episode Transfer Addiction. That's why that happens,
yeah.
I think, because you're trying to figure out how to cope, and if you don't have anywhere for those emotions to go, you're going to turn to something else.
Yeah, 100%.
Whether it be alcohol, sex,
yeah,
shopping, maybe.
Maybe. Drugs, gambling, all of it. I mean, mine turned into actually, like, thank God, a positive. It was like I worked out a lot.
Yeah.
Yes,
I loved being out in the gym, being there for a couple hours, going home, just feeling amazing. Like, I was just, like, addicted to that feeling. So I was like, I did work today. I can feel it. You can see it.
Yeah.
You're not going to, like, tell me I ain't putting work in.
Yes.
I think that was the biggest deal. I needed to show people, like, you can do the work. If you do the work, things will happen.
Right.
Because a lot of people think, like, it is just, you know, a magic button.
Right,
and that
exactly.
it's going to be all gone. And it's like, no, you actually have to put in work here.
Yeah, you actually
no,
have
I
to
still
eat.
Have to go to the gym.
Yeah, yeah. And so, like, me getting up at 9 a.m. to go cycling on Saturdays, like, I would do that and feel really tired, but I'd feel amazing right after.
Right.
Yeah. So it's just doing it. It's
yes.
Like, just get up and move, and then you'll feel so much better.
Yeah.
So what would your advice be for somebody who didn't have the program? So, like, Melanie, she didn't have like a nutritionist that she can, like, I know I can always email
right.
Ellen and I will always get some type of response, or if I need therapy, you know, you guys are more than willing to send me
right.
somewhere or see, you know, what would your advice be for somebody like Melanie who didn't have a connection with a nutritionist or a therapist
yeah,
or
and,
anything like that?
And that's tough. Part of why that's tough is that, unfortunately, you know, a lot of physicians and surgeons in general are not necessarily comfortable seeing mm-hmm. other people's patients.
Okay.
And so, you know, it's hard sometimes to get in with a program after okay. the fact. But I would say absolutely number one, engage your primary care provider.
Okay.
Because they definitely know resources. Mm-hmm. And even, you know, even if a lot of things are specific to bariatric surgery, but a lot of things aren't, mm-hmm. right? A lot of things about weight regain are emotional, are
yes.
you exercising, what's going on in your life,
mm-hmm.
and all of those are things that your primary care provider can address.
Okay.
Now, I certainly have had primary care providers send me folks that have had surgery elsewhere, and they'll call and say, hey, look, you know, I've been seeing her for this, and I really don't know where to go from there. And and I'm happy to see folks for things like that. And so I think it's, number one, really engaging your primary care provider in your care, seeing them regularly. A lot of primary care providers have access to mental health services. So, you know, that's a great resource there. But, you know, hopefully there's programs out there that, that primary care can hook you up with if they feel that you need that more specialized care. So like a
support
care,
group or support something
group,
like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. But most bariatric programs, where there's a program, there's a support group.
Okay.
And at least for ours, those are open to anybody.
Oh, really?
You don't have to have your surgery here to attend our support group.
Awesome.
And so, and a lot of programs are that way. And besides, you know, the in-person kind of support groups, of course, we're not doing that now because COVID.
So anybody can join the Zoom calls, though.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. And cool. You just have to call and get on the email list with Ellen. But yeah, we don't limit it to who's, you know, you don't have to have
surgery. I guess I didn't realize that. Yeah. So that's really cool.
That's
good.
So check your primary cares and see if there's anybody around that you can just, like, do Zoom calls with.
Definitely. Yeah.
And we can also post the one for here if anybody wants to to join in.
So. And, you know, obviously social media is a big thing now.
Exactly.
Now, I always caution folks that social media is a fantastic way to connect with people.
Yes.
People that are going through what you've been going through and to get that support that maybe you're not getting, you know, at home. But people rarely post, like, their run-of-the-mill, mundane experiences
on
social media.
Exactly. It is not
It's embellished.
Real.
Yeah.
Yes. It's embellished.
Yeah. We've talked about that because that's why we wanted to do this so much, is because, like, we're like, this is the rawest you can be. This is really what happens.
Yeah.
This is how we feel on a daily basis. Like, we have bad days and good days just like anybody else.
And,
like,
I try to post about my bad days so that people know, like, hey,
there's bad days.
Yeah. And we do monthly check-ins so where we can say, like, this is what we messed up on this month, or, you know, we're not 100%.
Yeah.
We don't know what we're doing either. Yeah. We're just talking about
We're people.
We're talking about our experience. Yeah.
And I think that's the most important thing, is just finding support where you can get it.
Okay.
And maybe that's an in-person group. Maybe that's through your primary care's office. Maybe that's through Facebook. Who knows? But it's just knowing, reaching out for that support. And like I said, it doesn't even have to be somebody that's been through the same things as you have. Everybody feels the same emotions whether we're talking about food or not.
Correct. So. Okay. I like it.
I do too.
I think that's good advice because we get that question a lot. Like, where do we go from here? Or, you know, people get surgery in Mexico and then they come back and they don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Because it's not just a cut and dry, like you said.
Right.
It's not you have surgery and then you lose the weight and then you're happy the rest of your life.
No, it's not a piece of paper you can say, okay, I did steps 1 through 5, we're done. Great.
Exactly.
You know?
Everybody's body is different. Everybody's emotions are different.
So different.
You know, everybody's experience. I mean, I shared everything from day one. I didn't care. Melanie
did not.
Kept it more private. So every experience is a little bit different. Everybody's journey is a little bit different. Mm-hmm. So we like to give support because that's a good thing to send them to the primary or a support group.
Yeah. Support group, podcast.
Yeah.
Podcast.
Yeah.
So we covered that. What are some common misconceptions about weight loss surgery?
You know, I think the biggest one is that this is a last resort for folks.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot of more data and studies being done looking at weight loss surgery, bariatric surgery, as a preventative measure or as a, you know, not necessarily a place of last resort. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of folks wait and wait and wait and they say,
yes.
Oh my God, why didn't I do this 20 years ago?
Right.
You know,
exactly.
So that's a big one.
Because I thought that. I thought that I had to be like the worst off to have the surgery. Yeah.
And that's just not accurate. No.
Yeah. Like, this isn't for me. I haven't, you know, I haven't, I'm not at the end of my rope yet.
Well, yeah. Because, like, I wasn't on any blood pressure medicine. I had no diabetes. Yeah. Like, I had no sleep apnea. So, like,
but
I literally,
you would have.
That's the deal. Is like, yeah. I told my surgeon, I was like, I'm doing this to prevent all of these things because my medical history with my family, they all have those things.
Yeah.
I'm like, I need to have this done before I'm 30 because I don't want
to have these problems.
Yeah,
exactly. And she's like, and it's the same thing. I mean, my mom has diabetes. My mom had high blood pressure. So those things are very much, they would have happened had I not taken control. So, I mean, you don't have to be.
Yeah.
The worst you've ever had.
Right.
And I think the biggest misconception we've already talked about is that this is the easy way out.
Yeah. Number one.
That you've done the easy thing and great, you never have to worry again because you took the easy way out. And like, that's just absolutely not even remotely close to true.
People that think that are wrong.
Yeah. Very wrong. Very wrong.
I love it. Well, is there anything else you think that our audience should know or anything you want to add?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing that I want to get across is that this is not your fault, right? So there's absolutely lifestyle changes that contribute, but obesity is a multifactorial disease. Genetics plays a role, environment plays a role, lifestyle absolutely plays a role, but that's not the only thing going on. Yeah. So don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't be afraid to reach out and learn about your options. Surgery's not for everybody. Yeah. And we've had folks that have come in to see me and then I don't see them for a year. And then they come back a year later and say, you know what? I wasn't ready then. I am ready now.
I like it.
Yeah. And I think it's super important to not let anybody push you towards surgery either on the flip side of the coin. Like, you're doing this for you. This should be a you decision and you taking control of your life and your health. So
I love it.
There you go.
I love it. I like that. It is not your fault.
Not your fault.
You have made mistakes, but it is not your fault.
Exactly.
I love it.
That's a great way to end.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
All right.
Thank you.
Big thank you to Dr. Thompson.
Thanks for having me.
We had so much fun.
Yeah,
and
super cool.
We will see you guys next time. We love you.
That's right. Have a good day.
Bye.
Hey, listeners. If you have enjoyed your time with us, please rate, review, and subscribe on any platform you get your podcast. Check us out on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Join us on patreon.com/OSLP where you can get exclusive content. We would like to give a big thank you to Anne-Marie Cruz for our logo, Nick Dukes for our web design, Dylan Godfrey for our editing, and Eric Fong with 17th Street Studios for our music and recording space. Thank you for listening to our Sleeve Life podcast. We are breaking the stigma of weight loss and weight loss surgery one episode at a time.